Amen. We can be still and let the Lord fight our battles for us. We can know that if we hold our peace, the Lord is able to fight our battles. We can know that if we trust the Lord, if we don't lose heart, if we don't faint, if we don't quit, we have the victory. God just wants a people that's going to trust Him and even continue to persevere through the testings and trials that we face. Too many people give up when they experience a little resistance. But God wants His people to persevere through faith all the way through, knowing that if we trust Him, we're not alone. He's with us. And He's assured us, you have the victory in Jesus. Amen. I like to win. Amen. I don't like to lose. I'm serious. I don't like to lose at nothing. I told y'all that before. I don't want to lose at tiddlywinks. I don't want to lose at hopscotch. I don't want to lose at basketball. I don't want to lose at nothing. I don't like to lose at anything. Cards. I'm not a bad loser. I just don't like to lose. I'm not going to pout or nothing like that and not speak to people. I'm still going to smile, but within I said, man, I sure didn't like losing that thing. Because we were not created to lose. We were created for victory, for success. We weren't created for failure. Failure is a consequence of the fall. Amen. Failure is a consequence of the fall of man back in Genesis. But God didn't create man to fail. He created us to succeed. He created us for victory. He created us to lead, to rule, to have dominion. He created us to mirror heaven in the earth. The fall of man was the consequences were sin entered in. And with that sin came all sorts of wickedness. That's why the Bible tells us in Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9, for the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? But then it goes on to say that God searches the heart. He's the one who tries the reins. It is God who searches our hearts, and if we will yield to Him, He will transform us. Why do you think David, the king, a man after God's own heart, would have to say, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit, a steadfast spirit within me? Because he recognized that he failed, he was fallen, a man of God, but fallen. After God's own heart, but he missed the mark. But God is constantly transforming his people. If we will surrender and submit to Him. And now He has washed us in the blood of Jesus. And now we have clean hearts before Him. But He wants us to take this word and wash our minds, renew our thought processes, change the way we think, change the way our attitudes, so that we can align with the will of God. Amen. Amen. I want to invite our attention to a couple of passages of Scripture this morning. And I think we want to start in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. You'll find this a familiar passage of Scripture. You know, a couple of weeks or so ago, church school, we talked about the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount and how Jesus was setting forth a vision for the people to really see God's will for them. So he goes through chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7, laying out kingdom principles for them that they could grab a hold to them, or they would get a desire for the things of God, God's way. And so he gave those Beatitudes in the fifth chapter. Then he went on and talked about a series of things different from how the world was doing things, the way God wanted it. So now down in Matthew chapter 6, our main focus is going to be around 24, But I think it's important to start at verse 19. Matthew chapter 6, starting around verse number 19. I have the King James Version. I don't know. Well, we'll read the version that's up here. If you all would read with me starting at verse 19. If you are ready, let's read. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Amen. Let's stop there. And then I want us to go down to verse number 24. I just skipped a couple of verses, but we're going down to 24. If you're ready, let's read. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Keep going. Keep going. Or for your body, what ye shall put on. Keep going. Keep going. Yes, sir. Which is there is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink? Withal will be clothed. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you need all these things. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for things of itself. Amen. Let's stop there. We thank the Lord for the reading, the hearing of His word. Brothers and sisters, it is important, as we always say here at the Church of God in Richmond, that we constantly seek to see things God's way and seek to have the mind of God as it relates to everything that we are embarking upon in this life. It is critical that the people of God make this transition, this shift, to do things God's way. Those who were here last week, you'll know we shared a couple of statistics, some depressing statistics in terms of the disparity of wealth among our people and the other peoples of this country. And we talked about the cause of that disparity, or one of the root causes being most of our wealth was tied up in our home ownership. And once the housing market crashed, that caused a great collapse in many of our financial health. You know, we were already behind. I mean, as we mentioned last week, you can't be hundreds of years behind and catch up. I mean, it's just difficult in the natural. It's almost impossible, particularly when the whole systems are designed to keep some people down while others can rise and take advantage of all the laws, all the loopholes, everything that's written, everything that's available. If you have some people that can take advantage of these things while other people have to scrape and scrounge and fight and work hard, and everybody should work hard and work smart, but you want your labor to count, and you want to know that in a country that says it's a democracy or a democratic republic and a constitutional republic and all of these things that are created equal under God, you would hope for things to be equitable. You would think, wouldn't you? But we've been around long enough to know that that's not the case. That's just not the case. It was like that before we were born. It's been that way a long time. All over the world, not just in this country. But the cause of it, again, is the fall of man. The reason there's so much disparity is once man fell, because sin came in, everything got thrown out of course. And man's thinking devolved into almost an attitude of self-preservation. Right? And so people that were created to rule everything else that God made, now they're seeking to find ways that they can rule each other. And they're seeking to find ways that they can dominate one another. And they're seeking to hoard. And they have a mindset of greed. And they have a mindset that it's okay for some people to flourish while others are impoverished. But anybody who's known anything or read anything about God, we know that that was not his intention. That was not his will for mankind. And that's not his will for us today. And so he has put a system in place. It's called the Kingdom of God system. That if his people will embrace it by faith, he will transition us from the failed systems of the world. And put us in a system that is a system that's designed for every child of his to be successful. You're not fighting against political powers. You're not fighting against people that have all the money and wealth. You're not fighting against a system that's oppressive. But we're in a system designed to bless you and to make you a blessing. Isn't that what God told Abram when he called him out of Ur of the Chaldeans in Genesis chapter 12? He said, I'm going to take you into this land that I'm promising to you, and I'm going to bless you and make you a blessing. Those that bless you will be blessed, and those that curse you will be cursed. But I'm taking you out of a system of oppression, and I'm releasing you into a system of liberty and blessing. And he promised this not only to Abram, but to his descendants. God's ways, brothers and sisters, again from Isaiah 55, are not like our ways. His thoughts, he doesn't think like we think. Let me put it like that. He doesn't think like we think. He doesn't act like we act. And the reason he doesn't is because he's holy, he's righteous, he's perfect, he's all-knowing, and man is none of those things apart from God. None of them. We're not all knowing, we're not all powerful, we're not holy, we're not righteous apart from God. In fact, I shared the scripture from Jeremiah 17 and 9 that says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. How can a heart of a person that's deceitful and desperately wicked do what's right and do what's godly consistently? You can't. We can stumble upon it from time to time. When I say we, it's not us, but it's humanity can stumble upon it, right? It said that a broken clock is right how many times a day? At least twice a day. You can stumble upon doing something right, and that doesn't make you righteous. We can stumble upon trying to do something right, and you may do okay, but that doesn't make you righteous. Only God can make us righteous and then teach us how to do what's right. Only God can make you righteous and then teach you how to do what's right. So that's what this word is designed to do. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He teaches us the right way, the right things of God. The word teaches us the will of God. What's right? So in that sixth chapter, we saw that God was telling them that, listen, you've got to make sure you know where your heart is. Because where your treasure is, what you value, what you highly esteem, what you hold up as being precious and important to you, that's where your heart will be also. Jesus said that. We read it from Matthew chapter 6. So he says, don't lay up, don't store up for yourselves treasures on the earth. Because those things, moths can come in, the rust can come in, and really destroy those things. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Things that are eternal. Things that are protected from the corruption of Satan and of the enemy. And from the corruption of the world's systems. The world's ways of doing things. God is shifting us, brothers and sisters. If you want what you do to last, if we want the lives that we're investing day by day to count, we've got to store up treasures in heaven. We've got to be doing things that honor and please God and that accomplishes the will of God in the earth. And no one can make that decision for us but us. No one can make that transition for us but us. We've got to trust God's ways and then say, I'm going to do this thing God's way. We say that all the time. I mean, I don't mind repeating myself. The Apostle Paul said, for you it's safe. It's not grievous for me, and for you it's safe. So I'll repeat myself every week if necessary to get this in our spirit. That we will not succeed trying to do things the world's way. The system is stacked against you, and at best, all you can do is store up treasures in the earth. I mean, if you make it to be where you're wealthy, all you can do is store up wealth in the earth. For others to come behind you and not value it like you value it and waste it and squander it. Amen. Things you've worked all your life for, to collect, to amass, so you can leave some kind of inheritance to your children and to your grandchildren. Only for them not to value it as much as you value it and waste it. Squander it. Get swindled or tricked out of it. Huh? You do know that valuable things have been purchased or just thrown away or given away by people who don't know the value of what they have, don't you? You do know that people are going to yard sales and thrift stores and finding things that are worth a whole lot of money that somebody just threw away and just donated or sold at the yard sale for 50 cents or a dollar because they didn't know the value of it. Amen. That China that your mama and your grandmama worked for and was so proud that they were finally able to have something of value. And then the kids come in, I don't want this old junk. I want some new plates. I want some new bowls. I don't want this old stuff because they don't understand the value. You may want some new stuff, but still find out the value of what you have. So if you decide you need to sell it, at least you can get something of its worth. See, we've been talking all week, for those who are visiting, about stewardship from Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and all that dwell therein. Everything in the world belongs to God. The world belongs to God. Every human being, including you and me, belongs to God. Belong to God. So everything is His. So we have a responsibility that whatever He gives to me, my life, My health, my strength, my mind, my time, my abilities, money, everything he gives to me, he's put it in my care, in my charge, for me to be faithful and diligent with it. And we have to find out the value of these things. So God tells us what's valuable. You've heard me say this before. What's valuable to God? First of all, our relationship with him. And then our relationship with other human beings. That's valuable to God because God made mankind in his likeness and image. So these are things that we need to think about, relationships, and stop busting them up and tearing them up and just, you know, walking over people and rolling over people to get what I want, to get more money, because God values humanity. Because he made us like him. So while I'm trying to get money, if I'm stepping over people, if I'm swindling people, if I'm mistreating people, if I'm nasty and belligerent and beating people down, taking advantage of them, I might have more money. But I'm a poor human being. Because I don't value and respect life that Jesus died for, that God created in his likeness and image. So he wants us to begin to see what he values. See what's important to him. And then we'll realize this stuff, its purpose is to serve us in serving God. Not for us to serve it. No one, verse 24, can serve two masters. Either you're going to love one and hate the other, you're going to cling to one and despise the other. But no one can serve two masters. I don't care what anybody says, I believe Jesus. I believe Jesus. If Jesus says nobody can do it, I don't care who said, yeah, I know how to manage this thing. Yeah, I can serve Peter over here on this one, and I can serve over here. No, you can't do it the way God requires it to be done. Jesus said nobody can serve two masters, because there's going to come a time that we're going to have to make a decision which one is going to come first. My job or my calling, which one is going to come first? An assignment from God or an assignment from my boss? Which one is going to come first? And we're going to make a choice. We are going to make a choice. And in that moment that we make that choice, we've just delineated which one was more important. Now, I'm not saying church. See, some folks will go home and say, the preacher said I need to quit my job so I can spend more time at church. I did not say that. In fact, I didn't say quit your job at all. The pastor said, you know, I got a calling on my life. I got to, no, don't lie on me. I didn't say that. I said the time is going to come where we're going to have to decide whether God and his assignment is first, or whether something else. My example was the boss and his or her assignment. And at some point, we're going to have to decide. Okay. And in that moment, we make a decision. We determine for that moment which one had first place. He says, you're going to love one and hate the other. You're going to cleave to one and despise the other. But we can't serve two masters. Okay. So he says, don't worry about your life. What you're going to eat, what you're going to wear. Don't worry about those things. Your heavenly Father knows that you have need of those things. Look at nature. And how beautifully God has arranged and arrayed nature. He says, it ain't worrying. He said, the lilies of the field, they're not toiling. You know, they're not spinning. They're not making no clothes. They're beautiful just like they are. Just like God made them, they're just going to display their beauty. Look at Solomon with his beautiful clothes and all of his glory. He is not arrayed like one of them. Why? Because God made the lilies of the field. Somebody made Solomon's clothes. Okay. So he says, but seek ye first. Seek first. He didn't say those things aren't important. You got to have on clothes, folks. I mean, unless you're going to live out in a remote island somewhere by yourself, you need to have on some clothes. If you're going to be a part of civilization, you need to have on some clothes. You just can't walk around because I'm free and I'm au naturel. You got to put on some clothes. So you need clothes. You need food. You got to eat. These bodies have to be fed and fueled and nourished. Got to eat, right? You need somewhere to stay. You need shelter. But he says, don't put those things first. Seek first my kingdom. Seek first my reign. Seek first my ways of doing things. Seek first the system that I place to bless and prosper you.
One, two, three, four, five, six. One, two, three. Can you get it any louder than that? If not, I can get another one. There you go. Thank you. So he didn't say those things weren't needed. In fact, he acknowledged that you need them. One of the things Deacon Larry mentioned this week in Vacation Bible School, I think you said his grandmother told him, he'll correct me if I'm wrong, or explain to him that you've got to discern or determine what things are needs and what things are wants. Was it your grandmother? His mama. Okay. Yeah. You got to determine what things are needs and what things are just wants. There are some things we need. Can't live without it. Some things you just want. Some things we want related to our needs. Right? I need transportation. You got feet. Right? Folks, there are a lot of people today, 2019, that still are walking practically everywhere they go. In some countries, that's all they have is to walk. Everywhere they go, they got to walk. Sometimes for miles and home. So don't, you know, so walking is a mode of transportation. Right? You got bicycles. Some people have bicycles. You have the bus. Some folks say they will never take a bus. Listen, if your mama, dad ain't have no car, your friends ain't have no car, you take a bus. You would take a bus. And you'll find out some people you know on the bus too. Because people need transportation. If they got to get from point A to point B or wherever, they got to get to work, got to get home, got to get to appointments, and nobody's there to take them, you hop on that bus. If you're fortunate to afford a car, then get you a car. But you don't have to have a Rolls Royce. You don't have to have a Bentley. You don't have to have a BMW. You don't have to have a Range Rover. You don't have to have a Mercedes. You don't have to. You have a car. You have transportation. You need it to get to where you got to go. But it doesn't have to be a $40,000, $50,000, $60,000, $70,000, $80,000, $100,000 car. That's a want. That's a want. There are people that have made a lot of money playing to our desires and our wants. I'm not going to stay on that long, but you got to know the difference between a need and a want. Some things you got to have, other things you just want. Amen. You think we all right?
Yes, sir.
Let's see what's going on here.
One, two, three.
All right.
Houston, we have liftoff. All right. So some things you just want. So the Holy Spirit will teach us the difference between the things that we need and the things that we want. Then he'll say, listen, I'm going to supply your needs according to my riches in glory by Christ Jesus if you seek my ways first. Seeking God's way is not exclusive, meaning you don't get the other things. He just shows you how to get them the way he wants you to get them. And the text says he'll add them. Which means not only do you have a kingdom mindset, we understand how to do things God's way, but God is adding things that before we were seeking after. We were running after. We were working ourselves tired trying to accomplish and achieve. Some people have a beautiful home, but they can't afford to stay in it because they got to work 2, 3, 4 jobs. Huh? Right? Got a beautiful bed. Big, huge bed, but can't sleep. Because they're worried about paying for this bed and paying for all this stuff. See, God wants to change the way we think about things. And I'm not messing with y'all about them pocketbooks this week. I'm not doing the pocketbook thing. Well, last week I didn't mess with y'all much. I messed with myself. Then I said, how many pair of gaiters do you need? And crocodile, how much do you need, right? So I'm not messing with y'all. The point is, if you've got a pocketbook and you don't have any money in it, you're not using your kingdom mindset. Amen. If your pocketbook or your shoes or your car cost more money than you got in the bank, apart from your transportation, you know, your car may cost more money than you have in the bank. You may still be paying for it, but you need it for your transportation. That's one thing. But if you're just going luxurious and you ain't got no money in the bank, you're not using your kingdom mind. We're not using the resources the way God wants to bless his people. So he wants to change the way we think. I will add what you need. If you put me first, let me teach you how to handle what I've given you. That's the kingdom way. Let me teach you the right way to manage what I put in your hands, the resources that you have. You know, people used to say, give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. Teach him how to fish, he can feed himself for the rest of his life. God wants to teach us how to live so that we'll know no matter what the circumstances are, I'm okay because God's got me. He's taught me some things that I put into practice, and now whether it's snow or hail or rain or wind, doesn't matter. God has secured me because I took the steps that he instructed me to do, and now my family is okay. Amen. Folks, these things are important. They are invaluable because another crisis is coming. It really is. And it's not far off. And as I mentioned last time, if we don't learn this time, shame on us. We may have gotten caught off guard last time. You know, we just wasn't paying attention. But if we don't learn this time, shame on us. Because God is speaking to us, and all we have to do is listen and make some changes. Some things are going to be simple changes. Other things are going to require more discipline. But we're just going to have to make a decision. If I want to be secure, I want my family to be secure, I've got to make some changes today. Got to start today. Last place, then we'll wrap up for this morning. So he wants you to think about these things. He says, seek me first. You keep trying to do it the world's way, it's going to fail you. is going to fail you. We talked about those who had money in the stock market back during the last crisis, and how much some of us lost when the stock market went down, and how much some people lost. Well, if you've checked your statements, you've noticed you've done pretty well this year. Well, I've done pretty well this year. I hope y'all have done pretty well this year. But the year ain't over. And if we don't do what God tells us to do, those things could be wiped out. Are we talking to folks that are, what they say, folks that are woke? Ain't there woke folks in here today? God, amen. You said we woke. Well, nudge your neighbor. They might be sleeping. Wake them up. If they snoring, they ain't woke. All right. So, Matthew chapter 25. So he says, listen, seek my ways of doing things. That's what this whole stewardship thing, this whole taking what God entrusts to us and using it the way he wants it used is all about. I've entrusted you with my resources. I've entrusted you with life. I've given you gifts, talents, and abilities. I've given you money, some resources that come in and out of your hands. I've given you this. I've given you a mind like mine. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we have the mind of Christ. I've given you my spirit so that you can know all things. He's equipped us with everything that we need. We've just got to submit to the equipping that God has given us and start doing things God's way. Why waste the anointing? Why waste the mind of Christ still insisting on doing things my way? Amen. Young people, when you all want to do something, you want to learn how to do something, what do? Where you go? YouTube? Google? Ricky? Siri? Okay, go ahead. You got Siri? Ask your mama and daddy. Okay, some people said YouTube. Some said Google. Siri. What else? Friends? Right. Somebody that knows how to do what you want to do, right? So what are you doing? In effect, you want to do this, but you're going somewhere else to find what you need to be able to do that. Right. So you're going to a source that can give you the information, the know-how, the technique, the skills to do what you want to do. Isn't that what God is saying? You want this. You want shelter, you want clothing, you want food, you want housing, you want love, you want protection, you want to feel secure, you want success, you want all these things. Now you just can't go out there and get it on your own. Come to the source. Don't just jump in there and say, I want this, so I'm going to get in here and do it and I'm going to figure it out. Yeah, you might figure it out eventually. But in the meantime, how much stuff have we messed up? How much time have we lost? How much money have we lost in the process of trying to figure it out? When I can go to a source that has the know-how, that has the information, that has the skill, that's done what I'm trying to do, and I can at least learn some things. God says, come to me. I'm the source. If you do it my way, you will get this and this and this and even greater, because I know how to bless you beyond what you could even imagine. You thought you just wanted a promotion, but I wanted you to own the company. You thought you just wanted a new car, but I wanted you to own a dealership. You thought you just wanted to help a couple of kids, but I wanted you to have a school. God knows how to bless us beyond what we can even think of. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above the things that we could ask or think. Isn't that scripture? So if we do this thing God's way, man, there are no limits to how God will bless us to be a blessing. But we've got to buy into doing things God's way. God bless this microphone. Fix this system in Jesus' name. Whatever's going on with the system in Jesus' name, we take authority over it. We ain't spending no more money. God, you're going to fix this thing, and you're going to bring it in line in the name of Jesus. We ain't wasting no more money. It's time for everything up in here to line up with the Spirit of God. Every microphone, every camera, every chair, every seat, every person, we're going to line up with God. In the name of Jesus. Man, we ain't failing no more. We ain't missing no more. The enemy ain't taking nothing from us no more. We done gave up enough. In Jesus' name. Amen. And it got straight too. In Jesus' name. We done gave up enough. I'm about ready to stop, and I'm not finished yet, but I think that's a good place. We've given up enough. It's time for some restoration in the household of faith. Amen. It's time for a return on your investment. So we're going to finish up here quickly in Matthew chapter 25. It starts out the first part dealing with the kingdom of heaven is like these 10 virgins. They were waiting for the bridegroom to come. So while they took their lamps and they're waiting for the bridegroom to come, but the text says 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. There's a message there. They're waiting for their betrothed. They're waiting for the bridegroom. But 5 of them were wise. And 5 of them were foolish. The 5 that were wise took their lamps, but they also took some oil. The 5 that were foolish took their lamps, but they didn't take any extra oil. And while they were waiting for the bridegroom to come, their oil started diminishing. I mean, if you got your lights on, you're burning oil, it's going to start diminishing. And then the cry comes, he's coming. He's coming, prepare to go out to meet him. And the 5 that were foolish said, we're running out of oil. Give us some of yours. And the 5 wise said, you ain't getting none of my oil. Go buy some. See, there's a time to be generous. And then there's a time, wisdom says, hold what you got. Somebody get that down the road. Sometimes it's always good to be generous. Jesus said the poor you're going to have with you always. As often as you want to do something for them, you can help them. Do what you're going to do, but there's a time to hold on to what you got. And this was the time. They said, go buy some. So while they went to buy some, he came and took the 5 wise with him. The 5 foolish ones showed up later knocking on the door. We're here, we're here. He said, too late. Too late. Too late, baby. Bye-bye. Oh. No, it's too late. You mean we can't go with you? No. You missed the time. Folks, he wants us to get wise. He wants us to be like the foolish people waiting on Jesus to return. He wants us to be wise while we wait for him to return. Aren't we waiting for him to come back? We said we want him to come back. Come, Lord Jesus. Well, he wants you to be wise while you wait for his return. He wants us to be ready. He wants us to have provision. He wants us to be in a position to bless others while we wait for his return. He wants us to be able to provide for our families while we wait for his return. He wants us seeking souls while we wait for his return. He wants us equipping the generations while we wait for his return. Not foolishly wasting everything that's coming in and through our hands. And then finally, he transitions from there into the one who gives the talents. We talked about that this week. We'll close there. He says, this man, this master, he calls his servants together. He's going to take a journey into a far country, and he gives them his substance, his wealth. He gives to one 5 talents. He gives to the next one 2 talents. To the last one, 1 talent. Then it says he journeys off into a far country. Right. He gives these talents, which in the text is money. Now, it applies to everything that we have, but the text, the word talent, is a weight of money. It's a weight of money. He gives 1 5, gives 1 2, gives the other 1, according to their abilities. Very important. According to their abilities. If you don't get anything else out of this message, get this. It's very important. Everyone in God's kingdom, in his system, is set up to succeed. God is setting you up. He's setting me up for success, not for failure, for success. So he looks at our current situation. He looked at their abilities. And he gave to them accordingly. So don't get upset if it seems like one person has more from God than you. Because he's still setting you up to succeed, not to fail. Why didn't God give me 5? God knew at this point where I am, I'm not ready to handle 5. But he gave me enough that if I take what he gave me, I can still be successful. Don't compare what you have to anyone else. Take what God has given you as a blessing from God and then use it the way God directs us to use it. That's the point. He wants you to succeed, not fail. If you feel like you only got 1 talent from God, you got enough. Because you got enough to succeed. If somebody else got 2 or got 5, then they're going to be accountable to God for what he gave them. But use what you got. Because the reality is, if you got $1,000... and you got $100 and I only got $10 and the next person got $1. If the one with $1,000 goes out and brings back $200, they got $1,200. How much increase was that? What's the percentage? About 20%. The one with $100 goes out and takes that, makes $50 and comes back with $150. How much percentage is that? 50%. The one with $10 goes out and brings back $17.50. How much increase is that? Probably about 75%. I don't know. The one with $1 went out and came back with $3. How much increase was that? 200%. They increased what they had more than the one with $1,000, the one with $100, the one with $10. So it's not the amount. It's what you're going to do with what you got from God. What am I going to do with what God has entrusted to me? What am I going to do with what God has invested in me? What am I going to do with this opportunity for me to be blessed, for me to be successful? Am I going to hide it? Or am I going to go out in faith and use it the way God tells me to invest it? That's the key. Deacon Larry talked about it. That woman who only had 2 mites. And the others came and Jesus is watching. And they're giving out of their abundance. This woman comes in and just cast in the 2 mites. And Jesus says, this woman has given more than all of them. Not in amount, but in proportion to what she had. Because he said they gave out of their abundance, but she gave out of her lack. She gave all she had. That's what God is looking at. What you going to do with what I gave you? What you going to do with what you got? Thank you, Jesus. Huh? So that's what we need to ask ourselves today, brothers and sisters. What am I going to do with what God has given me? I need to take an inventory. Holy Spirit, let me know what you put in me. God, show me what you've given me. And now show me what you want me to do with this. I'm praying for my brothers and sisters. I want them to use everything you've given them for your glory. I want them to be successful. But while they're being successful, because we ain't hating on nobody. Right? That's not the kingdom. The kingdom isn't I got to pull you down so I can succeed. That's the world. The kingdom is, no, there's enough success for you and you and you and me, because God has set us all up to succeed. So I'm going to help you even succeed, and because I know God's got me, and while you working what God's working, I'm encouraging you, and I'm working what God has given me, and you're encouraging me, and all of us going to be able, when the time of reckoning comes, to be able to stand before him and give him increase. The one with five got five more. He said, well done. Good, faithful servant. Enter thou into what? The joy of the Lord. The one with two got two more. He said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Enter now into the joy of the Lord. The one with one, Lord, I knew you were hard, man. You gathered where you didn't plant, where you didn't straw. You collected, and I took your money. I was afraid, and I hid it. He said, in effect, if you knew that about me, which really wasn't his character, God's character, but if you knew that about me, you should have at least taken what I gave you and given it out for usury, or lent it out with interest, so that when I came back, I would have had more than what I gave you. Last point. If you notice, he said you should have at least lent it out for interest, which means that's the lowest. That was the lowest return he was expecting, not the greatest. I'll leave that one alone too. Do y'all understand? That was the lowest interest. Whatever the interest rate is on a house, what, 4.7% or 3%, whatever the interest rate is. You want to go get a car, you notice they'll give you a lower interest rate to get a car than they will to get a house. They'll, some of them give you 0% interest. You ain't getting 0% interest to get no house. Because they don't want you to get something that can appreciate in value. They want you to get something that depreciates in value. So I'll give you 0% interest to come buy this new car. But if you want a house, it's going to cost you more. I'm done digging, Larry. Some of these things just got to set in, you know. So in closing, folks, you've been patient. Take an inventory of what you have, your gifts that God has given, the talents and abilities that God has given you, the mind that God has given you, the ideas, the witty inventions the scripture talks about, these things that God is giving us, our strength that God has given us. Take an inventory and then submit it to God. Say, Father, I'm coming to you and I want to submit myself to you. I want you now to direct me in your kingdom ways, to utilize everything that you've given me for your glory and for your will. And then let God begin to show us ways and strategies and ideas and steps that we're going to take. Some of them are going to be simple steps. Save more than you spend. Make sure you save some money each month. Start paying off those credit cards. See, some folks have gotten out of debt and don't know God. They learned some principles and they did them. They recognize, hey, if I can go get a 0% credit card for, you know, 21 months, and I can transfer these balances from these high credit cards to that card, as long as I don't go crazy and run this card up, and if I pay it off on time, I can do away with all that interest. Every penny of it. You ain't got to be saved to do that. Amen. You just got to be disciplined that you don't get this credit card and transfer the balance and then start charging stuff on that credit card. And at the end of the period, you've got another debt. But you're using it for what? For a purpose. My purpose is to get out of debt. So I'm going to take this credit card with this zero interest and I'm going to transfer my high balance. And I'm going to divide the payments based on the term. If it's 21 months, I'm going to divide this whole sum up in 20 months. I'm not going to take a chance on that last month. I'm going to divide it up in 20 months and I'm going to pay this amount each month until it's paid off. I'm not going to charge anything on the card. The card isn't even going in my pocketbook, in my wallet. The card is going somewhere. I might even forget where it is. I'm not charging nothing on this credit card. I'm paying off. You don't have to be saved to do that. And it works. Has anybody in here done that? Amen. Let me raise my hand too, just in case y'all know.